Welcome students. Today we are going to go ahead with the chapter 4, that is elasticity of demand. This chapter introduces you to demand sensitivity and the determinants of demand sensitivity, such as how does a consumer changes his purchases pattern whenever there is a change in his income, there is a change in advertising, there is a change in taste, fashion, etc. Now consider that one day you get up and you find that the price of the tea has risen by 100%. And what if you go to a nearby chemist for a severe or a bad headache and the prices have increased to 100%? In both these situations, what would be the customer's reaction towards a 100% increase in prices? One, either stop consuming the tea. Second, look for substitutes. Third, whether the medicine, is there any substitute of the medicine available, right? So immediately, the very first reaction whenever prices fluctuate is consumer's reaction towards that. Yes, this is what we have to judge in elasticity of demand. We are here going to understand how a customer reacts towards given changes in prices of the product and other factors that you have done, students, in the previous session on demand analysis. So let's go ahead with elasticity of demand. This is how elasticity of demand in economics is defined. It says, for any change in price, demand may change proportionately. And if this change is more than proportionate, sometimes the change may be less than proportionate, or sometimes it may not change at all. I would like to explain you that the very first concept, first type of elasticity we are discussing here is price elasticity of demand. Price is one variable which fluctuates. It is an independent variable. Consumers do not have much of control over this variable. No doubt, the Reserve Bank of India keeps a check over the inflation rate and come with timely corrective measures to control that inflation. But we are all aware that as a consumer, on the consumer side of the market, we do not have much control over price, except where bargaining is possible. Still, ultimately, we are supposed to buy the product at the given market price. So what happens when prices changes is the chapter of elasticity of demand, with the very first type, price elasticity of demand, explaining us. We here try to understand that for a given change in price, how much the demand changes. In other words, how much the customer reacts, or what would be the responsiveness of the customer to a given change in price. So let's go ahead. This is a mathematical concept and you need a formula, which is like this. Percentage change in quantity demanded of X. X is any commodity. We are assuming the commodity as X. You can say percentage change in the quantity demanded of a particular brand of biscuits, divided by percentage change in the price of X. Now very carefully you have to remember, we have to be clear about X, that is the product we are taking into consideration. So suppose if I'm talking about the price of burgers, I will have to concentrate on the demand for burgers only. I cannot talk of any competing brand at this time. So when you take price elasticity of demand concept, you will have to connect the price of the given product with the demand of the given product. And the numerator will always consist of demand. Demand is our dependent variable. Demand is the dependent variable and price is independent. So dependent variable divided by the independent variable. When I try to take the ratio of the demand and price in percentage. So percentage change in demand upon percentage change in price of X will help me to derive price elasticity. So price elasticity is percentage change in demand upon percentage change in price. Once you use this formula, you will find that you try to understand degree of responsiveness of quantity demanded. Degree, that means by how much, to what extent does the quantity demanded gets affected of a given commodity X to a change in price of X. Now we will try to understand this by mathematically calculating it. Okay, so now let us understand how mathematically price elasticity of demand can be calculated. As you see here, students, we have written down the formula percentage change in quantity demanded of X divided by percentage change in price of X. Now I have to assume a given percentage change in price of X. Suppose I take it as, we have to assume a minimum, let's say 10% price is changing. So I will write here 10%, that is 10. A 10% change in price is changing the demand by 20%. So I write here 20. Now 20 divided by 10 gives me how much? That is equal to 2. Now this 2 will be called as price elasticity coefficient. So 2 is called as the coefficient value. Now once we derive this 2, it means a 1% change in price is leading to 2% change in demand. So there's a double effect on demand. In this way, you can find out the mathematical percentage values of price for any given product. Then look at the percentage change in demand. Use this formula and derive the coefficient values. Once this coefficient value is derived, certainly it will never be always 2. Yes, now we have taken 20 divided by 10 and we derived the answer 2. But every time you will not derive the answer 2. It will vary. Therefore, price elasticity types are given. Price elasticity types. These types are of 5. There are 5 types of price elasticity. Now I would draw a flow chart to give you an idea of how price elasticity values can be ranging. Well, as you see, there are 5 types of elasticity of demand. Equal to 0, less than 1, equal to 1, greater than 1, and equal to infinity. As you can see, students, here I have divided it into 2 halves. After this, equal to 1, any values coming to this side, that is towards 0, come under inelastic demand. And when you are moving towards the inelastic demand, It basically means customers are less sensitive to price. The customer's demand sensitivity is less. So when it is zero, you can see the demand graph is exactly vertical. Now this vertical means that there is a fixed demand. Irrespective of price, the market demand that is existing will not fluctuate. So it is not very, very price determined demand. Now the products which come under zero elasticity are basically life necessities. Medicines, an oxygen cylinder for a patient, or even products which you are spending a very small fraction of your income. Salt, a very common school level example. We call them as zero because what happens is there are certain situations in life where you become price insensitive. You don't bother about price. So medicines. People will not consume more medicines because it's cheaper or less because it's expensive. So there are certain cases where, like we said, medicines, newspapers to some extent, life-saving drugs, absolute necessity for survival, food, water, they come under perfectly inelastic demand. Now look here. You can see that instead of a vertical slope, it is a little steep in slope. Such diagrams are called as steep sloped. Here, the change in price is more and the change in demand is less. We call it as delta P, greater than delta Q. Because the change in price is more, but the change in demand is less. So when will this happen? This will happen when the prices fall by a large amount, but market demand picks up by a very small fraction. So this is a case of relatively inelastic demand. Again, the necessities of life, perishable goods, fruits, vegetables. You do not tend to buy more than the required quantity because their prices have fallen. A car. Again, now when you are talking about petrol prices going down, people may stock little amount of petrol in bottles and containers, but not so much that it will be unlimited. So there is a limit to the amount of stock that a customer will buy looking at the fall in price. So that also comes under the inelastic segment. This equal to one is purely a theoretical concept, where the change in price and the change in demand is exactly equal. So I say that if there is a 1% change in price, the demand will change also by 1%. The next is greater than 1. When you talk of greater than 1, you will find that the change in price is less, but the change in demand is more. So change in price, delta P less than delta Q. This is a case of relatively elastic demand. Customers are more responsive to the given change in price. Customers are more responsive to a given change in price. This happens when the product is a comfort, television sets, electronic devices, household electronic appliances, branded clothes, etc. Even real estate. And the last category. If you look at the last category, it is equal to infinity. You'll get the answer infinity when you are dividing any number with zero. Here, price is zero. The price does not change. It is a very, very artificial concept. It is purposely created by the companies. We call it as panic buying. People go on buying till the stock lasts. And the demand graph becomes exactly horizontal. So students, These were the five types of elasticity. We broadly categorize them into the inelastic segment and the elastic segment. The more the products come under the inelastic segment, the better the companies can charge the price. They can even increase the price because they know the products are necessities of life. Similarly, when you look at the elastic segment, in order to capture the market, the companies have to lower the price. So this covers our the first concept of price elasticity of demand, where we divide it into five types and broadly into two types. So students, as we had just learned how elasticity of demand formula can be calculated, and on that basis the coefficient value of elasticity can be derived. Taking you ahead from there, whatever I have discussed now, let's look at these slides. We studied unitary elastic demand and we realized that here the change in price and the change in demand are exactly proportional. So 1% change in price bringing a 1% change in demand. I said this is a theoretical concept and it is mostly used as a divider. It is a divider between the inelastic and the elastic segment of the market. So to understand what is the inelastic and elastic segment, we basically start with unitary elastic demand, where percentage change in price and percentage change in demand is exactly equal. In reality, no products or the market demand for any product does not react exactly in the same manner. It may be little less, it may be little more, but it's very difficult to practically get exactly the same proportion change in demand for a given change in price. This is how the diagram will be. You have already seen on the board. The reason for this downward sloping diagram was that the change in price and the change in demand have been exactly equal, same. This was the left hand side. You remember I had drawn that five types of flow chart. The left hand side, relatively inelastic demand. Here the change in price will bring about less than proportionate change in demand. Necessities, LPG. Tomorrow if LPG cylinder prices goes up, people are not going to cut down the consumption of the LPG cylinder. So it will mostly, the market demand for LPG cylinders will come in this category. Therefore, the graph is very steeply sloped. Okay? Relatively elastic demand. When we talk of relatively elastic demand, what happens? More sensitive. Customers react to the change in price. And therefore, change in price brings about more than proportionate change in demand. So just imagine which are the products which come under the flatter slope demand graph. Comforts, luxuries such as cars, houses, branded clothes, better quality food, dry fruits, etc. They all come under this category. Perfectly inelastic demand. We remembered this was a case of bare necessities of life without which person cannot survive. And therefore, even if the prices change, people will consume the required quantity that is necessary. And here, we say that the change in price brings about no change in quantity demanded. Price does not become a factor to control the demand. And the graph becomes vertical parallel to y-axis. The last one, which was again an extreme case, perfectly elastic demand. You find that the here a slight change in price or just a psychological effect. Companies say that the offer is only valid for a limited time. One day Vijay sales offer. So this all comes under infinite change in demand. People are rushing to the stores to get the best offer. This happens when branded and excellent products are given at throwaway prices, or the best stuff is given for a limited time. People just want to get the maximum from that offer, and the demand graph will become horizontal, parallel to x-axis. So after understanding this, types of various price elasticities, we move on to the next concept, which is a part of price elasticity, popularly called as arc elasticity of demand. Please remember, this concept will be used only for diagrams. And we have to remember that here we have to take two points on the demand curve to understand the arc elasticity. So what we have to do here is select two points of the quantity demanded. Take any two points. I'll take you back to the previous slide. Look at this slide. We have one point here and another point down. Suppose we name this point as A, the other point as B. How much is the elasticity from A to B? So what is the elasticity from A to B is called arc elasticity. Arc is a part of the demand curve. It is some part of the demand segment. So you have to only remember that you will draw a horizontal line from here, see what is the price, take any price and just try to calculate it. Okay? So we move ahead to the next concept, that is Marshall's method of calculating the elasticity of demand. So as we had seen in the slide, the formula given on arc elasticity, let us understand it through a working on the board. As you see here, students, I have drawn the demand graph. We have taken two points A and B. So from the whole demand graph, a part of the demand graph is selected, which is called AB. From A, I have taken a horizontal point. I have written 3. Vertical line Q. So this is 3 rupees and this is the quantity demanded, 10 units. From the next point B, I have taken another horizontal line and I have just taken randomly an assumption it as 2. Now when you put this on a graph paper, you can count how much units is the difference from point A and from point B to be very, very accurate. Here we are taking a very hypothetical concept to understand what is arc elasticity. So I have taken this as 2 rupees and quantity as 20. Now what is the arc elasticity? Arc elasticity is this distance AB, which is written here. It is the difference in Q, 20 minus 10, that is new minus old, divided by 2 minus 3. New minus old. I understand that the answer will be negative, but negative sign has to be ignored in price elasticity. Negative indicates the inverse relation between price and demand. So when you divide 10 divide by 1, you get the answer 10. Now 10 means greater than 1 as per our 5 types of elasticity. So we say that for A and B, this much part of the slope, the elasticity is greater than 1. So it is relatively elastic demand. This is how arc elasticity can be used. There is another concept which is called as point elasticity. When you look at point elasticity, we have drawn a graph and you can see instead of A and B, only one point is taken, A. So when I want to calculate only at a given point the elasticity, I will have to draw a segment as I have drawn LM. LM is called as a tangent. It is tangent to the point A on the demand graph. The formula for calculating point elasticity is L upon U, where L stands for lower segment and U stands for the upper segment. So length AM divided by length AL. AM is lower segment, AL is upper segment. Now you have to assume any amount of, you can say the length of the segment can be assumed by you. I have assumed the entire length LM as 10 centimeters. So if LM is 10 centimeters, distance AM has to be more because AM is greater and the distance AL is smaller. So therefore, I assume that the ratio is 6:4. 6 divided by 4, the answer is 1.5. So again, I come to the conclusion that at point A, the elasticity is greater than 1. So these are the two methods, arc elasticity and point elasticity, which are used to graphically understand and measure the elasticity of price. So after understanding point and arc elasticity, we have one more way of measuring the elasticity of demand, which is given by Marshall. As you see in the given slide, it is known as Marshall's method of measuring elasticity of demand. Here Marshall said that if we get an idea of how much a person is spending, that is the total expenditure. Other word for total expenditure is total outlay. So this method is also called as total outlay concept. If a person is spending money on a given product, then on that expenditure, we can keep a note of that expenditure and calculate the elasticity of demand for the given product for which the person is spending the money. Now let's assume that we have the basic necessities of food, clothing, shelter, electricity bill, water bill, and some basic maintenance charges, parking charges, which are very, very regular. Every month these bills are always standing in front of you. So definitely you know that there is some expenditure which every month is going to be there. It's regular, it's recurring. Let's look at it from that concept. And what Marshall wants to say here is, he has taken three concepts or three variables. The first variable as usual is price, quantity demanded, and total outlay. Now students, the third, that is the last variable, can be derived by multiplying the first with the second. As you can see, 60 multiplied by 100. Okay, but here 50 multiplied by 120, 40 multiplied by 150. So what happens over here is that the prices are continuously falling. The person is buying definitely more units, but he ultimately lands up spending the same amount. So what happens here is, why is the total outlay not changing? It's because the proportion in which price is changing, the demand is also changing in the same proportion. Proportion in terms of the difference. So you end up having the same value for total outlay. And when the fall in price does not bring any change in the total expenditure, I repeat, fall in price or increase in price, change in price does not bring any change in outlay, then we declare it as a case of unitary elastic demand. Again, little theoretical and very difficult to find practically where expenditure will remain the same. This is psychologically, like you decide that your electricity bill should not go beyond 6,000. It's just an assumption. So when the electricity rates goes up, that is from 50, it goes up to 60. You will cut down on consumption of electricity on certain appliances which you think are not very important. Comforts. You'll cut down on comforts. Suppose if the electricity rate goes down to 40, you will definitely be encouraged to buy more electrical appliances, but you'll keep in mind that your total expenditure should not change. Then you are creating a unitary elastic situation in terms of your electricity consumption. Look at the second case. The same thing over here, but you will find that the last variable has changed. It's not constant as 6,000, which we had seen in the previous case. In fact, here the expenditure is coming down, which means that when the price is falling from 60, 50 to 40, the expenditure is also moving down from 6,000 to 4,800. How is that taking place? How is it that with fall in price, the expenditure is also falling, even though the person's quantity demanded is increasing? So with a fall in price, the units consumed are going up, but not in a very high proportion. It means that if we take the same case of electricity, when the electricity rates go down, immediately the people are not going to substitute most of the products with electrical appliances, not that fast. So certain products which are necessity, like when you are talking about a geyser or a washing machine or a television set, certain common appliances, they will not change, or people will not start using more and more. You cannot say that, okay, let's just use it more, let the TV run the whole day, even if nobody is watching the television, because electricity rates have come down. I am just talking about here again a case where with a fall in price, the total outlay falls, because you are not consuming more than the required units. The consumption has increased, but not too much. So we declare it as relatively inelastic demand. Then those products will come under relatively inelastic demand, because they are necessities, and people will not start consuming more of necessities due to fall in price. Therefore, the total outlay will decrease. It's very important for the companies that when they are selling a product which comes under relatively inelastic demand, a fall in price will bring down its total outlay if the consumption is not increasing. What if companies wants to earn more revenue? This is for them. They should look at the products which come under relatively elastic demand. Look here, the prices has come down, but the total outlay has gone up. This will only happen when the product of, the prices of prestigious goods fall and people land up buying more. So the companies are able to earn more revenue. So when you talk about Shoppers Stop and Globus and such branded companies who bring down the price, they ultimately land up earning more revenue at the end of the day, because they are able to find that people are buying more units. This always happens when companies are selling one and you get one free. You pay for three packets and one packet of biscuit is free. These are all cases where you will find the total expenditure increases in the market from the consumer. And every increase in total outlay is total revenue, because consumer spending is company's earning. So this is what Marshall has tried to explain. Now let's move ahead to the next concept. We call it as income elasticity of demand. Students, this is the second type of elasticity of demand. The first one was price. So you had such a lengthy concept of price elasticity, from formula, calculation, types, point and arc, and then Marshall's. Now we take the second variable. No more we have to consider price over here now. In this case, we are only going to talk about income elasticity, that is consumer's income and its effect on the demand. Here we try to study percentage change in quantity demanded of X to percentage change in income. So be very clear that our variable, that is delta Q will be as it is, change in demand. But only the variable Y, that is income, will change. Earlier in case of Y, we had taken price. When you use this formula, that is you find out percentage change in income and see the percentage change in demand, you will derive three conclusions: positive, negative, zero. That means when we discuss about the income elasticity of demand, we have three conclusions: positive, negative, zero. What if income elasticity becomes positive? It means that for every increase in income, the person will spend more and more on the present product. So we can say that all comforts and luxuries of life definitely have positive income elasticity of demand. Because whenever people's income will go up, they will prefer to improve their standard of living by spending on such products. The next is negative. As we see that when the income improves, person's lifestyle also improves. So if on one side, the person is buying new products which will enhance his standard of living, at the same time, the person will stop buying the products which will bring down his standard of living. In fact, those products and those services will become inferior for the consumer whose incomes have started rising. And we call them as negative income elasticity. In this case, when the consumer's income increases, the demand will fall. It will go in an opposite direction. Whereas in positive, when the income increases, the demand will increase. But when you talk of negative, when the income increases, the demand will fall. So now just think, what are the things in your life which you are spending money on? And the moment your income improves, you'll stop buying them. Will it be products sold on the streets? Will it be public traveling by public transport services? What about unbranded products? Are we going to stop buying them because we feel, oh, they are inferior, I have more money? So you can really understand that positive and negative income elasticity often go together. They are both opposites. There are also some products which are not at all connected with income. We call them as zero income elasticity. When you look at zero income elasticity, these are the products which are not much affected by income. You know why? Because you are spending a small fraction of your income. A person earning 30 to 40 to 50,000 is buying a daily newspaper of 5 rupees. And if the newspaper becomes 6 rupees, he will say, no, I will not buy. I mean, it's very strange. So there are certain products where you are spending a very small fraction of your income. They will all come under zero income elasticity. Let's move on to the next type of elasticity, which is cross elasticity of demand. So price elasticity was the first, cross elasticity is the second, and now we move on to the third, which is cross elasticity of demand. It's very important for you to realize, students, here we are trying to study the degree of responsiveness of quantity demanded of B to the change in price of A. What does it mean? Price of one product, but understanding the demand of other product. So change in price of one and how it affects the demand of the other. So you have to remember that in cross elasticity, we have to consider two products, two different products, and understand how they are interrelated. Whereas in price elasticity, we were considering only one product. So don't get confused with price elasticity and cross elasticity. I repeat, in price elasticity, we take only one product into consideration. Study the responsiveness of market demand to a change in price of the same product. But in cross elasticity, we take price of one product and try to understand its impact on the related product. The formula is same. Percentage change in price of one and bringing a percentage change in demand of other. Like income elasticity, there will be three conclusions derived. Positive cross elasticity, negative cross elasticity, zero cross elasticity. So students, positive cross elasticity means if the price of A increases, the demand for B will also increase, because A and B are good substitutes. So what you have to remember is, when the price of one brings a change in demand in the same direction, then it is called as positive cross elasticity. So if the price of a particular product, let's say in Mumbai, if the auto fare increases, per sharing auto fare increases, most of the people will prefer to substitute it for best, BEST services. First class and traveling by second class. I mean, there are n number of products which are called as substitutes. And when one becomes costly, people will start looking for a cheaper substitute available. This is called as positive cross elasticity. The next is negative cross elasticity. What happens in negative cross elasticity? In this case, the price of one and the demand of other will move in opposite directions. If the price of one falls, then the demand for other will increase. If CDs become cheaper, the demand for CD players will go up. If electricity rates are hiked, the use of electrical appliances will slowly start moving down in the market. So what happens in negative cross elasticity is, the products are joint products. If I am buying a CD player, I should buy the CD. If I am buying a 3 BHK flat in a particular prime area of Mumbai, I should be ready to bear the property tax and the maintenance. It means when you are buying one, you have to buy the next product to run it. Right? So what happens if you have your own vehicle, you should be ready to pay the parking charges. So these are all examples of negative cross elasticity. The amount of premium and the number of years of a policy, correlated variables. Anything which is correlated comes under the topic of cross elasticity of demand. And then comes the category of zero cross elasticity, no correlation. I mean, if you will always see that a company which is selling a toothpaste, it starts giving toothbrushes free. Now, toothbrushes given free with the toothpaste, if a person feels that I'm getting 5 toothbrushes free, then let me buy this toothpaste. Negative cross elasticity. Negative here, because toothbrushes are free, it is encouraging a person to buy toothpaste, that particular brand of toothpaste. So what I'm trying to tell you here is that whatever promotional offer a company launches in the market definitely is based on the positive and negative cross elasticity. And what about zero, where there is no correlation? Have you ever thought, ever come across, where you are buying a LCD and a company is giving you a pencil box free? I mean, you yourself know that there is no point of buying a LCD just because there is a pencil box free. I mean, it's no way correlated. So therefore, such promotional offers are very hard to find. So I would like to remember that this elasticity concept is very, very useful for understanding the promotional offers which the company introduces from time to time. Finally, we are coming to the conclusion of this chapter. with understanding the concept of elasticity of demand, does it have any practical uses? First, a monopolist. Monopolist is a single seller. A monopolist can look at the product's elasticity, and if he is selling a product which has inelastic demand, there are no substitutes available. The meaning of monopoly is a single seller who is selling a product which has no close substitutes. So in that case, what happens? Charge a higher price. People have no option because there is no other company selling the product. So if the company launches the product or increases the price, people have to bear that. If a doctor increases the consultation charges and the patient has to take the treatment from that doctor, they have to pay that price. If government increases the license charges, to avail a license you have to pay a higher amount, people who need the license will have to bear with that amount. So these are all examples how taxes are used by the government. That's what I was talking about. Taxes cannot be levied on products which have elastic demand, because the moment the taxes go up, people will stop buying the product or decrease its consumption. So if the government finds that it is having a huge fiscal deficit, a revenue deficit, and that deficit has to be brought down by increasing revenue, then let me tell you, tax is one of the biggest source of revenue. And while deciding the taxation policy, the government can also make use of elasticity concept. They can start taxing those products which come under relatively inelastic demand, a little bit necessities of life. So once the taxes go up, people have to bear it, and automatically revenue can be generated. We go to the next. Useful to an entrepreneur in factor pricing. Tomorrow you want to set up your own business. Once you become a business person, you will have to make use of resources. Buying land. If you are going to buy land in a metropolitan city where land is very scarce in supply and its demand comes under inelastic category, then be prepared to pay a higher price. There are many people who are ready to pay higher price of land in a metropolitan city just because land is scarce. So, factors, the demand for whose services is inelastic, will definitely ask for returns. The best example discussed here is of air pilots. If you are setting up your business in aviation sector, then the cabin crew and the pilots definitely will demand a higher salary, and you have no other option but to pay them that salary because they are very scarce in supply, or we say their demand comes under inelastic category. Finally, even government can make use of elasticity for devaluation of currency. Now, what is devaluation? Where the government starts selling its currency and buying a foreign currency. So we are ready to sell more and more of rupees to buy dollars. Devaluation is deliberately done by the government. In devaluation, our currency becomes cheaper. And when the currency becomes cheaper, the first impact is imports will become less, because now imports will become costly. I will have to spend more and more rupees in exchange for $1, right? So if from 40 rupees, $1, it becomes 50 rupees, $1, then it is devaluation. I will have to spend 10 rupees more for $1. So the whole idea of devaluation is to bring down imports and to increase exports, because exports will become cheaper. But here, the economists are trying to say that the government should be very clear whether the imports are consisting of inelastic demand or elastic demand. Because if we are importing oil, oil comes under inelastic demand. Then even if the currency gets devalued, you will find that our balance of payment will not improve, because imports which are of necessities cannot be cut down. So elasticity is very, very useful for understanding the concept of a monopolist who has to fix the price, for government while formulating its tax policy, entrepreneur in factor pricing, government in planning for devaluation of currency. So with that, we have completed this chapter 4 on elasticity.